Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
I never know when we record these things, Jonathan, how much external noise gets into the podcast, but here we are in the Church Answers office, and we are hearing something going beep, beep, beep. Yeah. Beep, and it may be annoying you. I don't know if it's annoying the listening audience, but right now I'm looking out my window and I'm seeing a bulldozer. And when the bulldozer goes back, it beeps. When it goes forward, it stops. So in case you're wondering, listening audience, what that sound is, it is a bulldozer when it is in reverse. And so we apologize for the sound, but we are always grateful for our sponsor, Midwestern Seminary.
Yeah, their flagship degree program, the 81-hour MDiv, offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry with everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City as you train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. Start your ministry training today at mbts.edu/mdiv.
I think we were surprised by the results of a short survey that we put out to a lot of our constituents on Facebook and other places. I haven't looked at the latest tally, but it's probably 4,000, 5,000 at this point of number of responses. Absolutely amazing, incredible response to 12 questions. And we're trying to understand what the pain points are of churches. We're trying to get an idea of where churches believe, church leaders believe they need the greatest assistant, or at least they have the least amount of understanding. And it was a runaway.
Yes.
It was a runaway.
Discipleship.
Discipleship. It was discipleship. Mm-hmm. These leaders came back overwhelmingly saying, we either don't understand discipleship and how it should work in the context of a local church, or if we do understand it, we don't know how to make it effective in our churches. So when it was all said and done, I said, we need to start digging a little bit deeper into this issue of discipleship to try to find out what is going on. Thus, the reason that we're doing this particular podcast.
Yeah, we're going to talk about 7 reasons why poor discipleship is such a big issue in the local church. And number one is a lack of clear definition of discipleship. It doesn't mean any particular thing, it seems.
All right, let's talk about the different possible things that it can mean. It could mean that someone is studying the Bible on a regular basis. We'll talk about that more. It could mean that I know that in some denominations like ours, we used to have programmatic discipleship, and you weren't doing discipleship unless you were doing a certain program. Mm-hmm. It had different names, but one of the names was discipleship training, among the many different names that it had and different types of iteration. And so discipleship from a programmatic point of view in those churches typically happened on Sunday night.
Yeah. And speaking of that program, Lifeway tried to change the name of that one time. I sent you a thing about this.
You did. Is it Quest?
Yeah, I think it was Quest. I think that was the right name.
Yeah.
And
it failed.
It got shot down.
Yeah. Was it Sullivan that was president back then?
I don't think so. I think it was Holcomb, maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
But that was wild.
You know what would have happened if they had tried it again?
It probably would have passed.
No, it would have been a request.
Oh. I walked into that one.
I just thought about the Quest. But you're right. The whole discipleship thing is just engendered a lot of confusion. What does discipleship mean? Does it mean you're taking them to a class? Does it mean you're going through certain steps of spiritual maturation that can be measured? Does it mean you're in Bible study? Does it mean that you're in an ongoing prayer group? I mean, what is ultimately the definition of discipleship is to become a more devoted follower of Christ,
a disciple. Become a disciple.
A disciple.
Yeah.
But the how behind it is a lot more confusing than the what behind it. How do we do that, particularly in the context of a local church? So one of the problems we have is, what is discipleship? And if we can't define discipleship, we obviously can't do discipleship.
Yeah. It's like going on a road trip. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there.
Yeah,
I've been because if you don't know where the destination is, and if we can't define discipleship as this is what it looks like, we'll never know if our church is doing it.
You know, you've been on most of the travels with me over the last several years. I do remember one with Brad Wagner. Can't even blame you for this one.
Yes.
And we were headed to Arkansas, mm-hmm. and the interstate was closed. And so we looked at our friendly GPS, and it told us to take a detour.
Yeah, this was not me driving.
No, this was... I think it was I that was driving. I don't think Brad would be driving because I'd be very fearful. So I think I was driving. I took the, and I said, Brad, where do I go? So we will blame him. And he says, go off this exit right here. And I said, where do I go from here? Because it's still not clear on the GPS. He said, follow that truck. It was a big transfer truck. And so we followed the tractor, the cab, and the trailer. And we started following it. And the truck turned around after about 6 or 7 miles and started going back where it came from. And Brad said, don't do that. Keep on going. We ended up on dirt roads. We ended up on places where we couldn't see the road. That is not hyperbole. We did not know where we were going. And eventually, you know what we did? Turned around.
Oh.
Turned around and just tried to find another path. We only lost about 2 hours. So
oh, my word.
It was, I was hearing all kinds of dueling banjos out there. It was just really, really a weird path. Discipleship, if not clearly defined, means you do not know where you're going.
All right, number two, and this is the problem, I think. Not only do they lack the definition of it, but they don't see it as a process.
Discipleship is often thought to be punctiliar, or just we're going to be a greater disciple, greater follower of Christ if we do this.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Yes.
If we complete this study, we have done discipleship. If we have gone through this exercise, we have done discipleship. But discipleship is a process. Here's the reality. Discipleship in your church is when people worship. That's discipleship.
Because they're growing more like Christ.
Discipleship is when they pray. Discipleship in your church is when they do ministry. And what do we want to do in the American Western context? We want to compartmentalize it, and we want to have this one channel, if you will, and that's the discipleship. Instead of thinking, maybe all of these things are part of the discipleship process. Thus, a book was written many, many years ago called Simple Church. I'm going to test you on this. I don't expect you to remember. Do you remember the working title for that book?
The Process-Driven
Church.
Right.
And it came out shortly after the
Purpose-Driven
Church. And so, needless to say, our publisher said, no, we're not going to go with PDC again. And it eventually became Simple Church. But the whole concept, based on a research project that was originated by Eric Geiger when he was working on his doctoral degree, was what is happening in churches that have a clearly defined process of discipleship? What does it look like, and what direction are they going? So that's why we wrote Simple Church. And so we said, you're becoming more like a disciple if you commit to the body of Christ, usually called membership. You're becoming more like a disciple if you attend the worship. You're becoming more like a disciple of Christ if you're in a small group. You become more like a disciple if you get involved in ministry, if you share your faith. So when we begin to have this idea of a programmatic definition of evangelism instead of a process type of, I should say discipleship, instead of a process driven or approach to discipleship, we then make it something that is simply an end in itself and not a means to growth.
All right. Number three is that there's a great amount of time invested in worship services.
From about 1980, let's just say early to mid 80s forward, there has been a worship revolution. You're way too young to remember you remember because you see many churches like this today. But
Still in the late 80s.
Yeah. They went through the motions. They had a order of worship. Nothing wrong with a fixed order of worship, but it was rigidity in worship. It was formality for formality's sake. If you moved one thing in the order of worship, you were likely to get criticized. The songs were poorly played in many churches. And it usually was two instruments, piano
and
or
organ.
And if you happened to get up there with a guitar, you were heretical. And We just got in this worship rut, and then we had a worship revolution, and it has been mostly a good revolution. Certainly there have been, anytime you have a revolution, that means you have spawned off worship wars. We have had the wars, but there's been a lot of attention on worship. It's been good, but in the meantime, there has been less attention on discipleship. We've focused on the worship time, the worship experience, and we have not focused on discipleship. And what the churches are crying out to us now is, it's time for a discipleship revolution.
And while you mentioned it earlier, worship is discipleship. It's not the totality of discipleship.
It is part of the process. Exactly. So, yeah, it's time we start thinking about what does it really mean to lead our church members to become more like Christ.
All right, number four is the wide open back door.
Boy, we could address this in a number of ways when we start talking about closing the back door. I don't remember when I first started doing that conference for the old Church Growth Institute organization, originally founded by Elmer Towns. And I did several different conferences for him. I did Eating the Elephant. I actually did something on spiritual awakenings. And then the one that really became popular for a season was Closing the Back Door.
Yeah.
And I think I still have a VHS tape.
Oh, wow.
On Closing the Back Door.
I would love to see that.
I might find it. And I remember the first time I took Nellie Jo to it, and I had done it this time. I was doing 5, 6, 7 a week when I was on the road. There were half-day conferences.
Wow.
And there would be many times I'd do one in the morning, then I'd travel to another city and do one at night, and they're typically about 4 hours long. And so I was doing these conferences, and I was doing them over and over again. I remember the first time Nellie Jo went to one, it was in Manhattan Beach, California.
Huh.
I remember that very, very well.
I wonder why she chose that destination.
She was very selective when she traveled with me, and she said, "That was a good conference, Thomas. It's like you've done that before." done it just a few times. It was a great need back then, because even then the back door was wide open and people were leaving. We have two back doors now, two big back doors.
Okay.
Back door number one is the traditional back door where people just leave the church. They just are leaving.
Yeah.
Back door number two is they don't come as much.
Oh, okay.
So they stay out more than they stay in. The attendance frequency issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have two major back doors. Now, why do we have back doors? Because we don't have disciples. People who are more committed to following Christ are usually more committed to being a part, an active part of the local church. Church membership does not equal discipleship. I can see those cards and letters coming right now.
Yeah.
But church membership is being devoted to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 12, you're an active body of, a member of the body of Christ.
Well, discipleship isn't going to increase if you're not there. I mean, that's just plain and simple. If you're not there, if you're missing every other week or 2 out of 3 weeks, or you're not coming at all, you're not going to be growing as a disciple.
Certainly not in a corporate sense.
No.
Which is where it's, yeah, you can grow as a disciple by personal Bible study, personal devotion time,
but
personal
prayer.
But that
should drive you to the corporate side.
Exactly. Exactly. They are not either or. How many times have we heard, "I don't need the church in order to follow Jesus"? Well, yeah, you do. You need the church. The Bible talks about you needing the church. And so the wide open back door is just very clear that discipleship is not taking place in the church.
And if you want to see Dr. Rainer give probably an updated version, I guess you could say,
yes,
of Closing the Back Door.
Yes.
October 15th, there's a webinar, tomrainer.com/assimilation.
You've got that down.
I've got it.
I didn't even know that.
So I was, while you were talking, I found out, you know, I remember I had to look it up because we're recording this a little bit ahead of time. But check it out. October 15th, Dr. Rainer will be leading a free webinar online for Closing the Back Door. So we'll be doing that. And you can find out more at tomrainer.com/assimilation.
You know, just walk down.
Links in the show notes, too.
There you go. To walk down a meandering path for just a moment, I have limited my live speaking engagements just because I'm old, and just because you can go speak for 45 minutes and be gone for 2 days.
Exactly.
And so I know that it is a more effective use of my time to do the digital. I still want to continue to do a limited number of in-person events, but I love it when I can do a webinar, and I love it when it's a free webinar.
Yeah.
So that no one has any reason to say, "I don't want to come to that. I don't want to pay anything. I don't want to go anywhere." What do they typically, I don't even know how
30,
long.
30, 45 minutes.
With some questions.
Yeah. We usually do 30 minutes and then take Q&A at the end.
Okay. My guess is, because it's closing the back door, it'll be probably more like 37 minutes to 37 and a half minutes because of the topic.
37:22.
Okay. We'll hold it. We'll hold me to that. So we got, Jonathan, so you're ahead of me. I had no idea that that was coming up, and so you're wide ahead. Yep. You're totally ahead of me, and be on the lookout for that. Look at the show notes, and we'll be there for you.
All right. Number five, the failure to connect groups to discipleship.
I think we've talked about this.
Yeah. Well, you talk about groups, and people think groups equal discipleship, that if we have groups, we're making disciples.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, there's no discipleship going on in those groups.
Yep.
It's more of a
fellowship
group.
Yeah. There's a lot of chatter and banter and people talking back and forth, enjoying one another, which is nothing wrong with that. One thing we do know, groups engender intensive assimilation. 5-1. We've yes. used that data before.
If they're in a group, they're more 5 times more likely to be a part of the church 5 years later.
Exactly.
Than worship alone.
But let me be clear. Assimilation is not totally just, it's not synonymous with discipleship. Just because you are going to church doesn't mean you are growing as a disciple. If you're not going to church, there's a chance you probably aren't growing a disciple, but going to church does not automatically make you a growing disciple. I mean, go to your deacon's meetings and you'll probably say, no, this is some areas where we're not growing as disciple. But what are some things that need to happen in a group for discipleship to truly take place? They should pray. They should be praying together. They should be actually studying the Bible together.
What a concept. That at Bible study.
That really enhances discipleship. They should be ministering to one another. That's what a disciple does. All the one another passages. They should be planning to minister to the community together. So you begin to look at all the things that could and should happen in a group. And listen, folks, your group system, Sunday school, community group, life groups, whatever your name may be for your groups, that can be one of your most significant discipleship arms. Let me tell you where we made a mistake.
Where did we make a mistake?
And I'm going to pick on my denomination for a moment. And I realize we have vast numbers of listeners who are not Southern Baptists, and so please accept my apology in advance for using us as an example, but I'm going to use us as a negative example. For years and years and years, the old Sunday school board, which became Lifeway, had two major divisions. It had the Sunday school division, and it had the discipleship division. And there was a wall.
Because one was Sunday morning, one was Sunday night.
Exactly.
Programmatically in the churches.
And there was a wall between the two.
Huh.
So what did we assume as a result? Not only did discipleship have to take place on Sunday night, but discipleship did not take place on Sunday morning, either in the worship service or Sunday school. We stopped looking at groups, particularly Sunday school groups, as a means of discipleship. And I just want to say this again and again and again. If you have a group system and it's one of your high priorities in your church, the likelihood is your church is doing a better job than the typical church on watching people become more devoted followers of Christ. Groups are critically important to the cause.
All right. Number six, we created a false dichotomy of evangelism and discipleship.
How we did that, I wish I knew. Some of it began to, I heard the debate that was going on even in the 70s between evangelism and discipleship, but I know it can even
preach. Is this the go imperative type thing? Go and make disciples. You know, you've got the go and then make disciples.
Yeah, and it's literally as you are going,
yeah.
make disciples. But I remember it in we had a big convocation about it in Lausanne, Switzerland, and it became the Lausanne Covenant about what is evangelism, what is discipleship. And it's we split them into, listen, if you are sharing your faith, you are growing as a disciple. So you're doing evangelism and you are growing in discipleship. If you are a disciple, you are going to share your faith. It is not like they're pulled apart. I don't know how many times, and I bet it was a few hundred, I would consult with the church leaders, and they would say something. I say, well, y'all aren't reaching anybody for Christ. Tell me what's going on. We're a discipleship church. That's our focus.
But every church should be discipleship church, and every church
should be evangelism.
Should be an evangelism church.
Yeah, but they decided, and it was really present in the, and again, not in all of them, so I'll be very careful here, in the Bible church movement. And in the Bible church movement, it was, we're not going to worry about evangelism, we're going to worry about disciple, because if we help people to grow more deeply, they will eventually become the type of evangelist we need, so we won't have any emphasis on evangelism. Didn't work.
Well, and then you had the worship, you know, we talked a little bit about the worship revolution, and you had people say that, well, Sunday morning is our evangelism.
Yes.
And then, it, you know, it was everything, you know, working for the weekend was kind of the motto on that. It was, everything was about the weekend.
Get everybody there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the dichotomy, worship, a lot of things are going on.
All right, finally, the failure to emphasize daily Bible reading.
Credit Brad Wagner for a great research project that actually began while he was a doctoral student some 95 years ago. And he's 2 years younger than me, I better be careful. And publishing that on a book that we often talk about in jest, because B&H was not a good publisher then, The Shape of Faith to Come, really a very, very good book. And here's basically what it says. The highest correlative factor in any type of manifestation of discipleship is daily Bible reading.
Yep.
Okay, let's make sense out of that big phrase. It just a big sentence did. The more that you read the Bible, the more you'll pray. The more frequently you read the Bible, the more higher you give. The more frequently you read the Bible, the more likely you are to evangelize. It could go down the list.
Yeah. If you take all the spiritual disciplines, the catalyst for all of them is daily Bible reading.
And we would say, from a statistical point of view, the correlative factor, but you are right, it probably is the catalyst. It probably is causative, even though we cannot prove it. So what should we be doing in discipleship in our local churches? Emphasizing, keep holding people accountable for daily Bible reading. So these are just some of the issues on poor discipleship, why it's such an issue in many churches. And just watch us here at Rainer on Leadership and Church Answers and all the ministry we have. Watch us here, because we're going to be digging more deeply into this area. In the meantime, thank you for our founding sponsor, Vander Blooming Search Group.
Yeah, Vander Blooming Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of thousands. They've helped thousands of churches. Well, hundreds of thousands would be a lot. Just like yours, find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blooming Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
We are hitting some of the pain points of churches, and in this issue, and in this episode 465, we talked about discipleship. Stay tuned. Episode 466, we're going to talk about staff issues and why they're some of the most painful in the church today. We'll see you in the next one.
All right. Thanks again for joining us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.